I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Celebrating 45 years of broadcasting.
1, 2, 3. The voice of Nassau Community College.
I love this station.
90.3 WHPC.
WHPC HD Garden City.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
You can climb mountains and swim seas and have funky bass riffs and do things out of order. And then you know you're on Motormouth Radio.
Just to confuse people, but that's all right. We just want to keep you on your toes.
Long Island's only vetted automotive talk show with your host, Ray Guarino. And the man who has the con when I have to step away, Joe D.
Hi there.
Hey, Joe, how's everything?
I'm just a con artist. What can I tell you?
Yeah, well, that's how it goes. So here we are again on a beautiful day to do another episode of Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, it's not freezing. How cool is that?
No.
How warm is that, I should say?
We do have quite a lot to talk about today. We have a lot that's going to go on. We should be having a guest, Mr. Carl Anthony from automoblog.net. If you haven't checked that out, point your browser at it. This blog encompasses everything automotive. I'm going to ask him how he has the time and wherewithal to get all this stuff together in 1 week.
I think he has minions.
He must. He must have many, many minions.
Many minions.
I don't understand.
Say that three times fast.
I know. I don't understand how he does it, but we'll find out from Carl himself. He should be calling us in. And we're going to talk about a lot of topical stuff in the car world. Let's see. We have some shuffling of papers here. Hey, there is something that came about that I saw that's kind of interesting. You know, I have everything in front of me until I need it.
Well, that's what ends up happening. You know, Ray does a horrendous amount of research. Tremendous, horrendous, all kind of indices. And he walks in and pretty much, you know, that wheelbarrow full of papers.
I know.
You know, at least you found a good place to park it. I kept tripping over it. But there is some great stuff in there, and sometimes it takes a while. It gets blown around by the air conditioner or whatever.
Yep.
Well, oh, did you find it?
I did.
All right, good. Now shut up.
This is off the AP in Washington. There's a panel who said they want to lower the DWI threshold to 0.05. Okay, which is kind of interesting.
That's like a sip of beer or something, right?
Well, it's a sliding scale, Joe. They're calling for lowering the blood alcohol concentration, or they're called the BAC,
mm-hmm.
from 0.08 to 0.05.
Right.
All states have 0.08. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much the standard I've seen across. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Utah apparently has set the threshold as 0.05 starting December 30th, just a month ago.
So I guess because that's not on Marie Osmond's list of stuff that she could have with Nutrisystem over there or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, because then, you know, alcohol has carbs in it, you know.
That's true.
Well, so that's why Marie kind of probably kicked that in, yeah.
So, like you said, the amount of alcohol required to reach 0.05 depends on several factors. And this is right up your world because this is what you do when you do scanning diagnostics. You have all the factors involved, and you have to figure out which one isn't behaving.
Right, and they also have a bottle of Jack Daniels nearby for half these cars, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, The amount of alcohol, it depends on several factors, including a person's size and weight and whether or not they've eaten recently.
Mm.
Okay, they cite studies indicating most women, here's the general guideline, most women over 120 pounds reach 0.05 after two drinks.
Okay.
And men weighing up to about 160 would be likely to reach that threshold after two, at two, and those over 180 pounds at three drinks.
Okay.
Okay, so more than 100 countries have adopted the 0.05. The panel wrote a 489-page report, also recommended that states increase alcohol taxes and make alcohol less conveniently available, which is interesting, including reducing the hours and days that alcohol is sold in stores, bars, and restaurants. Yeah, good luck.
I'm not a drinker, but, like, wow, that would tend to suck with a lot of people that I know.
Yeah, well, they say that this is likely to draw fierce opposition. And in Utah, the Beverage Institute took out full-page newspaper ads opposing the new law with a fake mugshot under a headlight reading, quote, "Utah, come for vacation, leave on probation," end quote.
I love it, yeah.
So that's just something going on in a world of, because of course that does affect driving.
Well, yeah, drinking and driving is never a good idea.
No.
You know what I mean? And no matter how, you know, no matter how good you are, how good you think you are, after a couple, three, six packs, or whatever it is that you're consuming, you probably slowed down in case that moron runs the stop sign or something like that. And you, I don't know, these days, you know, you have to have your wits about you at all times. I mean, even like, you know, changing the radio station or something like that, which don't do right now. You want to be listening to us. You want to have your wits about you, because if you slowed down even a little bit, I remember somebody showed me that game Drop the Dollar, where they would drop the dollar through your fingertips and you have to see if you could grab it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And as your reflexes slowed down, the next thing you know, there was like a pile of money on the floor, at least when I played.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and then, that's what happens. You know, that's the thing with those card games with money. You know, like that's the one, like where the guy puts the $100 bill on the dashboard.
That's a favorite. That's always a good one. Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah, you should do that one after you do the drinking and dropping the dollar one, though.
Exact. No, you don't want to mix those things up.
Heck no.
So, what happened in this the week of automobilia with you, Joe? Anything good?
The last 2 weeks. Well, the toolbox has decided to become. Attention hungry.
I see it's clean.
Yeah. Thanks to Johnny Wrench over at the UD there. He got sick of looking at it, so he attacked it. So actually, we both attacked it. I did the headlights. He did the. But yeah, it's amazing. You know, I forgot the truck was white.
Did he polish the headlights or just do like a wet sand, or did he just hit it with some compound or toothpaste?
We used the Plastex.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and then we used a motorized. Wheel on it just because I'm
right.
Too damn lazy.
No, that is usually the best way of doing it, though.
Yeah, because, I mean, they were getting pretty dim, so this is definitely an improvement. I mean, there are way better, way more comprehensive ways that last longer and so forth, but you know what I find, too? It's when you get to a certain point with those lights, it's probably cheaper, you know, it's probably better, more expedient to change them.
Right.
Because they are available, you know, for a lot of cars, especially older cars. Because that plastic just never gets smooth again.
You know,
once it starts, that's the end of it.
Well, my daughter had her Dodge Stratus. I would polish those. The first time we did it, we did the wet sand and the whole nine yards, really, and it came out nice. But I found I had to polish them just with the buffing wheel and the compound a few times a year, because once they started to go, they just
that's
stayed
the end
that
of it.
Way.
Yeah. My Camry, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, they just, if you don't get out there, you better hope you're staying on streets with, like, really bright street lights. You know, sometimes you don't even notice it, you know, especially in, like, the city and the island. But you go someplace to it, it's not as well lit. You miss them suckers.
Oh, yeah.
You definitely do.
I always wonder if the auto manufacturers, if they're going to address that, because some, like Fords, were very, very bad for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Crown Vicks, Mustangs.
The yellow light option, yeah.
Terrible. Yeah, it's like cataracts over the lenses.
Exactly, yeah. But you know what? They last until they were out of warranty, so it's okay. Yeah, unfortunately, that seems that's a lot of the mentality manufacturers is that will it last as long as, the 3 years and 36,000, whatever the case may be? And if it does, well, they're okay with that because after that, they could charge you a nice lump of money to, to set you right.
And then, of course, their aftermarket parts division can make some money by selling the lenses.
You know.
Yeah.
They got to pile up the money any way they can. You know, they got to keep them stockholders happy.
Yeah.
You know, if you stay on top of them, it's not a bad thing. But that was just one thing. I mean, let's see, the rear washer stopped working.
Okay.
You know, so I go under there, right? You know, on a Chrysler minivan, you got to peel back the defender skirt there. And, of course, you know, I get under there and say, it's a pump. Truck car's 15 years old. You know what I mean? Excuse me. Next thing I notice, there's no power going to the pump.
Oh, okay.
Pull up a diagram, and of course, it comes from the integrated the IPM, the integrated power module.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, the fuse is good, and there seems to be a continuity issue. Uh-huh. So, yeah, this is like Monday afternoon. I had the day off, and I was like, well, I could trace this down across the front. Across the front radiator support and stuff like that, but I was a bad boy. I was a thief.
Yeah.
I shares the power supply with the front wiper motor.
Makes sense.
So, which is about 6 inches away, so I tapped into it. And now they kind of branched off, but guess what?
Beautiful.
My back window's clean.
Yeah, yeah. You know, something like that, along that line, there's something that I was thinking of the other day. Washer squirters. Now, mm-hmm. They've changed a lot through the years.
Right.
We grew up with the ones sitting on the cowl.
Yes.
Vent in front of the, mm-hmm. right below the windshield. And now most of them are out on the hood.
Yeah, they put them wherever.
I just, you know, I had some, I think my Fiat, I can actually adjust them.
Yeah, you could stick a pin in them and you kind of aim them and whatnot. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But I realized, one of the projects for this year is I'm going to hook up the squirters in my Pontiac. And those are the ones, the two brass little nozzles that sit in the, through the cowl vent.
Mm-hmm.
But what I thought about, I was going to sleep when I said, you know, the favorite squirters that I had are on my 96 Impala.
Right.
The GM used these little plastic squirter nozzles that clipped onto the wiper arm.
Yes.
And moved with the arm. So it just put this nice fan. You know the
yes,
ones I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Those are my all time favorite washer squirters.
Yes. I have that in a couple of cars.
And I'm thinking maybe I should get a pair of them, see if I can adapt them to the Pontiac wiper arms. I don't know if I can. It's a different, variety.
Yeah, different iteration there. But
adapting is the key word here.
Yeah, I bet you, with the right size hoses and a little bit of creative plumbing there, it's got to be flexible enough, of course.
Well, the hose actually has to have some slack, right, mm-hmm. to be able to go down and do its thing. But I'm thinking about it, and as a project goes, as far as a project goes, hey, you try it, and if it doesn't work, you do something else.
Joey's rule number one, is anything going to explode? No, try it!
So let's, I don't think anything's going to explode.
Should you try that button and see what happens?
We will. We'll hit this button and say, hi, you're all the motor mouths. And we hear nothing. Hi, you're all the motor mouths.
Hello, Professor Ray. Joey D, are you there today?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
It's the big man. What's up, Howie?
Thank you, guys. I'm at one of my favorite candy stores, Pep Boys, and I'm replacing spark plugs in an Audi. And what came on out was a surprise to me, NGK.
Okay.
That's what was installed in the Audi.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That's okay. All right.
It sounds like it's a mixed marriage, and this car was dealer serviced.
What were the stock plugs on an Audi? I'm trying to remember. I had.
It's funny how that works now. You know, for years it used to be.
The answer is whoever gets the contract.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you just hit the nail on the head because I've seen. I've seen NGKs or Densos in GM products. Chrysler was always champion, not necessarily so anymore. So a lot of times it's not a sure bet unless you get the car off the showroom floor,
mm-hmm.
or you go right to the car company's parts department there, the dealer, and see what they give you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know anymore. As long as it's the right plug, especially if it's a reputable brand. NGK. That's all that is.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. I like NGK. I put them in a Toyota, and my friend John from Toyota dealership said, "Are you crazy?" And I go, "I'm sorry. I'm deeply sorry." I said, "I, you know, it's related to Richard Petty. You know, I got 43 miles a gallon. I'm really sorry about that.
What, you didn't like the NGKs? What do you want you to use?
I love the NGKs.
What did he want you to use?
Audis used to use these.
What did they used to use?
Yeah, Bosch.
I'm showing Joe a picture on my phone.
I got a Bosch spark plug in front of me.
Bosch,
right now.
Three-pole.
Yeah.
They were those three-pole ground electrodes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what they used to use on the Audis and Porsches.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at a Bosch to see, you know, the comparisons, because this is a non-gap. It has four poles.
Right.
And
well, there's three.
It's non-gap, so I don't think I should go with a regular spark plug. But this here, the Bosch has two poles.
Right.
And can they unscrew a light bulb?
Pardon?
Can they unscrew a light bulb?
Oh, Joe.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at it, you know, like, I got my glasses so I can see it.
All right, you know? Yeah, and, well, they do use the German cars do tend to use rather unique electrode designs. You know what I mean?
Joey, it's a non-gap. There's no gap at all.
There's no gap?
Well, no.
There's got to be a little bit of a gap.
No, there is a gap. It's not a gap that a user can set, is what I think.
Right, they're correct. That's correct, Professor Ray.
Yeah, that's what it is. Well, you know what, Howie? I would say look up the car in a spark plug manual, buy what's recommended or cross-reference thereof.
Yes.
And then there you go. Call it a day and you know, that's it.
Yeah, there's basically about four spark plugs that I can get. So I'd like to get, you know, when you take out, you like to, you know, put back exactly what you're taking out.
Yeah.
Well, not us. We always like to put stuff in that was never meant to be there.
Yeah, it freaks
people out
that way.
But that's a different story altogether.
But
you, Professor Ray.
Yes.
You're more.
See, when you say we, I take that as an inclusive statement, and that's why I say that. So, no, that's why I say, Howie, whatever is listed in the book
by their listing.
Yeah, their listing or cross reference, and then, you know, I say you'll be okay. I think you'll be fine.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, let's see.
Thank you for that. You know, and that it is a beautiful day yesterday and today. Good cruising weather today.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm sure it is. By the way, I just looked up in all data. 97A4, right?
98A4.
Okay. That should take a BKUR6ET plug, which I...
What kind of plugs?
BK. Boy King.
Oh, NGK?
No, I they just give you the part number, which looks kind of NGK-ish to me off the top of my head.
NGK, it says BKR6EQUP.
Uh-huh.
And,
well, you got to remember, after 20 years, they might have updated the part number. But, yeah, that's an NGK part number. So, yeah, that thing was born with NGKs.
Son of a gun.
Say?
It was born with NGK.
Right. Yeah, so as far as that goes, then the NGKs is probably what I would want to put back into it.
Right.
All right. Thank you. I'll make that decision in about 2 minutes. Guys, happy motoring. Be
Go
well.
Go for Miney.
And keep on cruising.
Thanks, Howie.
You too, Hal.
Be well.
All right. Bye. So long.
Bye.
All right. We are going to take a break, Joe, because we're going to be back on the line with...
Watch. He's going to go with Mo.
Yeah, probably. We'll be back on the line with Carl Anthony from automobileblog.net. After we take this quick break, and we will we'll do that thusly, and then we'll come back and we'll...
Push the button.
Get in some cool stuff. So keep it where you got it. And I promise we're going to have some fun coming back up in a second. So there you go.
Do you own a car? Or have you ever seen one? Then you might be one of the millions of Americans who suffer from "there's something wrong with my car, but mechanics cost too much itis." Call the Motor Mouse at 516-572-7440. Our trained staff of two will help. There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And, of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
You have a short in your horn.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
All righty, we are back. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D.
Morning, your shorts.
Yeah, we're pulling out some of the old promo stuff. I'm going through some old CDs and old crap, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun to do that.
Yeah, you know, you can't use them for coasters forever.
Yeah, I know. They get kind of slippery. So, but you know what? As long as you're here listening to us, we got to tell you, tune in to listen to Jewish Talk, Sundays at 8:30 a.m. with Rabbi Pearl, where he thinks in Jewish but speaks in English, featuring the best in Jewish talk and issues affecting the Jewish community. And with that, we'll go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths. I guess we have a delay. Hello, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, Ray, it's Carl.
Carl Anthony from Automoblog.net. How are you, sir?
Hey, Carl.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, man.
I'm doing well, guys.
Excellent.
Good. Good to hear from you.
Likewise. Thanks for inviting me on.
Oh, no problem. So I have to say, Carl, you have one of the most extensive and inclusive blogs that I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. You got to give us a secret of how you do that. I know you're at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit this week. So
yes.
Thanks for squeezing us into your itinerary. So tell us a little bit about, well, give people who don't know a little bit of primer about the blog, and then tell us what was hot this week.
Yeah, absolutely, Ray and Joe. Really, what we do is we cover the automotive industry. So we say we're an automotive industry news, culture, and lifestyle publication. So when you come to our site, you'll read the news. So maybe it's a piece of manufacturing news. Maybe it's something about a new model or a new trim level. Or maybe it's a new car that's being released, which we've had a lot of this week in Detroit with the North American International Auto Show. So that covers the news and industry portion of it. And then the culture and the lifestyle piece is more kind of the intangible stuff. So the life that can be kind of lived around the modern automobile, if you will. So that you see in our series like Book Garage, which was really funny, Ray and Joe, because you had day one, you were literally featuring that book on your show the same day we were featuring it. So
yeah.
We cover a lot of culture and lifestyle items like that, and then we cover a lot of future transportation, so autonomous driving and things like that. So we kind of hit a pretty broad spectrum.
You know, Carl, I want to tell you, just before we go on, let me interject for a second. Marty Shore, the author of that book, is a good friend of ours, good friend of the show, and just like we became friends with you through Playing in Traffic with Lou Santiago, I will pay it forward. And if you'd like to be in touch with Marty Shore, if you haven't been already, I can facilitate that for you. So if that's something you ever want to do in the future or now, just say the word and I'll make it happen for you.
You know, Ray, I'm going to take you up on that offer. When we're done on the air today, I'm going to take you up on that.
Okay.
That book, from what I've read so far, is phenomenal.
Awesome.
I've not met him or spoke to him, but man, we had fun featuring that book.
Yeah, and he's written some other ones as well. Marty is, he's one of the, how do you put this, one of our elder statesmen in the hobby.
Absolutely,
right.
Yeah.
He's been around a long time, done a lot, and still doing it with an agency down in Sarasota, Florida. He still has his own company.
He's a go-to guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, and
right.
So yeah, definitely we'll make that happen. So that was kind of cool because I'm looking at the tweets. I'm saying, hey, wait a minute, what's Carl tweeting here? But wait a minute, we just did that. So I thought it was maybe a mirror, but no,
it's kismet,
yeah,
serendipity.
And to me, that's how I know that we're going in. And literally, you know, I had gotten a copy of that book and read it because I do like to read the copies, and it just
teach me to read one of these days.
I will. We'll work on it. That's how the timing fell out, and it literally was just by total circumstance, happenstance rather. And but it seemed like more than a coincidence. And to me, that's the world moving in the same direction. And I said, all right, we're gonna follow up on this.
But, absolutely. So. And the foreword of that book is so great. The way it's introduced by Joe Oldham, the way he kind of prefaces the book, you know, that, you know, other publications in California were kind of politically correct. And, you know, and then as he says in the book, we were the wise ass outlaws from New York. And
right,
I love that line. And of course, I thought of you guys right away.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Oh, really?
You know, that's the thing. When I read, I was at work at night and I read that forward. And I know that Joe and Marty worked together. Well, Joe worked for Marty because we had Joe on the show many times.
Yeah.
And I read that and said, wow. So I fired the two of them off an email and then got an email from Marty telling me, unfortunately, that Joe had just recently passed away. So,
right.
Which made us do a tribute show for Joe Oldham the week past that. So, which is, of course, before we did the book. So, yeah, it was all, you know, in the automotive world, like all other worlds, you have to take the good with the bad. And, you know, unfortunately, that happens.
Right.
So, again, how do you... if anybody goes on to automobilblog.net and looks at the content, how many people... We're wondering, like, what size army do you have working for you over there?
I say you got a bunch of minions.
Yeah, it is. A lot of minions, and they're very efficient, and they're cute at the same time. So,
really?
But
even better.
Right.
Gee, Joe and I have each other.
Yeah,
I think Joe is a pretty efficient minion. That's what I gather, but it's just me.
Joe is more than a minion. Joe's a
hey, I got two eyes.
Joe's a crew leader. But yeah, you're looking at two short Italian guys with white goatees. So you know it's
yeah. Neither of us are yellow.
Yeah, right.
We've got about 9 people that are associated with us. So. Really what it comes down to, there's myself and Chris Burdick. We run the site together. Chris is really good at the back end and the analytics of the site, website design, which these days you have to have SEO and Google Analytics. And
right.
So that's a part of the business I don't understand. But Chris is very good at the technical aspects of the site. I handle... Right. And I handle a lot of our content, and I oversee our writers. So we've got a team of writers, Tony Braz, Jeff Sparrow, Jeff Maxted, are three names that you're probably going to recognize right off the bat. And we've got some other guys that write for us, not quite as often, but our readers really enjoy their work. Michael Bellamy, who pens the Memory Lane series, Richard Reyna, and... Scott McLaren and Benjamin Cachetta are our other guys. And Benjamin will write a lot about electrified vehicles. He works in the field of solar photovoltaics. That's how you say that word.
Photovoltaics. Yes.
Solar. So he's an electrician by trade. So he writes a lot about electric vehicles. And mm-hmm. Scott McLaren is the chief marketing officer of a company called Fortegra. So a lot of his pieces focus on car insurance, telematics, and all this technological stuff that you see in the market today. How does that affect where things are going? And then my brother is our social media manager. He's a young guy. He speaks that Facebook, Twitter language. Like Joe says, all the young people are tweeting.
Yeah.
So
and us
my
too.
Brother, right.
Yeah.
And you guys are good on Twitter. I think you.
That's
guys
right. That's all right.
You know,
I just keep
Joe, isn't it?
Yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm saying that, you know, last time I tried to tweet something, they had all sirens going off in Hawaii.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Keep me out of that stuff.
We have a consult, our Jersey consultant, who's actually building a website for us, and he forced me into the Twitter world, and sometimes he'll put out a tweet, like one that went out yesterday about the snow-covered car. He put that one out, but I do the other ones that pertain to the guests and pertain to something a little more show-specific because I may have pictures or data to go with it. So, yeah, I try not to overdo
right.
it. I try to just look at what other people do and say, okay, well, what are they doing? I don't want to be annoying, so let's just kind
of
keep it factual.
We don't take pictures of our food and,
yeah.
you know, what our shoes are that you know, that day or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So, well, it's learned, you know, and I have consulted my younger daughter. Now, she's 20 years
right.
old, and she's, of course, she's in the Twitterverse. She knows all that stuff. So when I have a problem, I do consult her, and she sets me straight. So,
right.
Yeah. You know,
right.
We have to have our guys. That's she's my guy.
Yep.
Right, right.
The go-to
folks.
Just,
yeah.
Mm.
So yeah, I mean that's you know it's, and everybody that's a part of Automoblog, Ray and Joe, I mean they all bring a lot of experience to the table in different aspects of the automotive industry. You know,
mm-hmm.
a guy like Dennis who writes our car reviews, he's been a professional journalist and he's worked in the automotive industry for almost 30 years. Tony Baraz grew up in an Italian racing family, so
hey.
He's got.
you know, all these firsthand accounts of working on roadsters and working on different cars, and his perspective is very, very interesting. So, yeah. You know, we have a very talented team that we've all kind of, we're kind of in our own little corner of the sandbox, and we're just kind of doing right. our thing. And it continues to work, and we grow, not exponentially, but we grow slowly but surely.
That's good.
And that's kind of been our secret, but everybody's very dedicated. I couldn't do it without them.
Excellent. You know, Carl, let me ask you, I know that in the magazine world, you know, the editors contribute, and there's a senior editor who looks at things and makes edits and cuts and changes things around before they go to print. How does it work on your site, on an online site? Is there somebody who, like, officiates over all the content?
Yeah, and that would be me. So I do that. So everybody that writes for us, I'm the final set of eyes. So I do all the editing and I get all the formatting in, and then I'm ultimately the one responsible for publishing. Or if one of our guys says, hey, Carl, I'm thinking about maybe this idea for an article, we'll talk back and forth and we'll bounce ideas off each other either over the phone or through email. And then I write quite a bit. I write just as much as my guys do. So I like being on the front lines with them as well. And then my girlfriend, Danielle, does a lot of the proofreading of my articles then. So I'm busy editing all the other guys. You know, I'm busy editing my guys and making sure their stuff is nice and polished. And then she's the one editing me behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. Get used to that. That's not going to stop.
The
right.
Circle of life, the food chain.
Yeah,
yep.
Right, right.
There you go.
I know.
Right.
This is some site, though, I got to say. It runs the gamut. I see you've got that whole section on the future of transportation, you know, which has got a whole boatload of autonomous vehicles and
right.
You know, partnerships between, say, VW and Google. And let's face it, we should be kind of privy to that as far as it's coming down the pipe. We're probably still going to be in a car.
I'm not a big fan
me
of it
neither.
Yet.
When I saw the GM took steering wheels out of cars, I'm like, whoa, wait a second.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's
right.
That.
I did that once, but I had a pair of vice grips instead.
There you go.
So,
that's it.
You know, I got to say, when I talk about your site, Carl, I tell people it's all inclusive and comprehensive and you know, modernistic, up to date, all of those words. It is something that is so on the cutting edge of what goes on in the automotive world. That it's the one-stop shopping go-to place, I think, for information.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. Thank mm-hmm. you. And we do, and that's what we try to be as best we can. We don't have the resources of larger publications who, you know, have been writing about automobiles for 30 years and have huge investors and huge budgets. So we don't have that advantage, but our advantage of being smaller or maybe medium sized is that we try to be very precise in the information that we give.
You should.
We try to have a relationship with our readers. There's been times where readers have actually emailed into us with specific vehicle questions, and we take the time to get back to them, you know, to give our perspective or to give a little advice. There's been times where we've been wrong, you know, where we've, you know, just because we're...
Oh, so you're human.
Oh, yeah, right. You know, but we don't mind that. I mean, you know, listeners, I'm thinking radio, but readers have pointed out to us, hey, you know, this trim level. So we've confused trim levels before, so... We don't mind hearing that from readers.
The
because
deal is confused, correct. That stuff. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, so, yeah. I want you to take a look at this here, LE. No, that looks like an XLA. No. Don't sweat it. I happen to like your car reviews. They're really good. They're not like total, complete, and utter nitpickers. You know right. what I mean? Where you go to some of the larger reviewers, what they'll do is there's too many spokes in the wheel, which leads to a no. I mean, these guys, you guys give us a straight up, the pros,
you.
The cons, you know what I mean? And pretty much you're like a normal person, a normal person reviewing a vehicle rather than going into every little piece of minutia. So that right there, you got my thumbs up.
Thank you. And I'll give that credit goes to Dennis Farrell, who writes all of our car reviews. And Dennis is really... a straight to the point kind of guy. Here's the car. Here's this thing about the car, engine, transmission, infotainment, whatever. Here's this thing about the car. Here's what it does. Here's what we liked. Here's what we didn't. And Dennis actually lives near Denver, Colorado, near the Evergreen in Denver, Colorado area. So every vehicle that he gets for a press loaner, he takes that thing up into the mountains. So he drives it up and at elevation around through I-70, through all the twisting mountain roads. So when we have a car review, when you see a review up there, that's, you can guarantee we put that vehicle through its paces at elevation.
Excellent.
So, good
you
to know,
when, yeah. So, I mean, we with Dennis living where he does and him writing all of that for us, we have a very good proving ground to test vehicles. And there have been times where he has said on a particular vehicle, you know, it's a great vehicle if you're on the flats, but if you're in the hills, you're probably going to want to opt for the bigger engine, or this car should have a turbocharger or something. So, you know, readers will get a perspective of if they're driving every day, yeah, it's probably fine. But if they've got the vehicle loaded up, they might want to look at going up to the next trim level, which might give them the bigger engine or something of
that.
That's
the kind of thing a prospective buyer may want to know.
Unless they live in the South where everything is flat.
Right.
You know,
right.
But again, you have to know your
But still, you got to... the fact that you look at it from a regular person's point of view.
Right, exactly.
You know, a savvy regular guy rather than somebody dissecting the living crap out of the car. That's
right.
I find that to be a big plus.
Carl, can we ask you to hang on with us for a few seconds while we take a quick break? We want to just reestablish here on Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Joe D, and Carl Anthony from automoblog.net. We're going to take a quick break and play some promos, and we'll be right back. Keep it where you got it. Hang on, and here we go. Let's talk about, since we're talking about cars, let's get a little bit of driving in the country bit here with on Motormouth Radio.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age, with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Oceania, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Motormouth Radio on 90.3 FM WHPC.
All right, and you are back with Motormouth Radio on WHPC. Your host, Ray Guarino, Joe D, and on the line is Carl Anthony from automoblog.net. Carl.
Hey, Carl. We're back.
He didn't run away, did he? Guys.
Good. All right. We took care of business now, and that's good. We can earn our pay parcels for the next week. That's funny. So where are we now with coverage? Where do we leave off with automoblog? What was I guess the auto show is kind of the highlight of the week for you this week, or is something else? Okay, tell us about that, because that's working its way around the country.
It is, and so the North American International Auto Show started Monday at the Cobo Center downtown Detroit, and so that was the press days, Monday and Tuesday. And then you go into the industry preview days, Wednesday and Thursday. You have the charity preview, which is the big gala, where and they've raised just tons of millions of dollars for children's charities in southeastern Michigan. So all of that is, all of that precedes the public show, which actually started yesterday. So the big reveals, guys, that happened in Detroit this week were not your hyper cars and your performance cars and things of that nature. But this year at the show, as far as the show floor was concerned, it was your everyday type cars that were revealed. So Toyota Avalon, for example, your Jeep Cherokee, the new Kia Forte, the new Volkswagen Jetta. So these are cars that your everyday buyer is going to go after.
Yeah,
so
you're not going to go out and buy ourselves a McLaren or something.
It's going to be a
Jetta or an Avalon or I hear you.
So it was a really interesting theme this year. So you sort of have these everyday driver cars that were revealed in their new iterations, which kind of bottom line was, you know, offering more technology. The cars are more fuel efficient, they're safer. So that's how they kind of came out with a general theme. And then trucks was the big theme this year,
sure.
i.e. the new Ram 1500, the new Silverado. And then Ford doesn't have a new F-150, but they were not going to be left out of the truck conversation. So they had a new Ranger there at NAIS. They released some more details on the Ranger to the media. So where you had Ram and you had General Motors talking about full-size trucks, you had Ford talking about their mid-size trucks. So really, when you went through the North American International Auto Show and when you go through now with the public show, you see a good combination of everyday vehicles, nice new cars and sedans, all of which are very affordable, couple of new SUVs, and then you see three brand new trucks from Ford, General Motors,
nice.
And from Ram. So it's really, this year's show is about everyday vehicles.
Did the manufacturers still roll out concept vehicles?
Yes. And so it's interesting because the hot concepts this year were actually SUVs and crossovers, which may kind of give an indication of where the market's going these days.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, hardly anybody buys a car anymore around here. It's all crossovers or trucks of some type, yeah.
That was always my favorite part of when I go to the New York International Auto Show, was the concept vehicles, the ones that you know, that usually you don't see come to fruition, but you see pieces of them in production
cars. They show up in production little sections that I guess people like more.
Right.
Let's see, one of our listeners wants to know about the Bronco, anything on that?
So there wasn't anything on the Bronco at NAIS. The latest that I know on the Bronco is that it is set for production at Wayne Assembly, which isn't far from where I live here in Detroit. It looks like they're going to build both Ranger and Bronco in that facility. But Ford did not say anything on the Bronco at NAIS. I don't want to obviously speak for Ford, but I think their strategy was, well, if you've got Ram and Chevy at the opposite ends of the display here talking about their trucks, then we need to talk about a truck of ours, which would be the Ranger.
Sure.
So they said more about the Ranger than they did the Bronco.
Okay. Yeah.
That was probably smart of them anyway. There's a good market for those midsize pickups.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I think Ford has been out of now for a number of years.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's very interesting. That's cool. So, yeah, we look forward to that show coming this way.
Our way, yeah.
Yeah. Which will happen in a while, but that's cool. Very good.
There are people who go out there and actually go to the various local, well, not local, but their corner of the country auto shows to say, well, you know what? They're thinking about a car. Now they get to see one live and in color.
Yeah, sit in it, check it out. You know.
Yeah, without the salesman, like, coming up to you. And,
right.
Haranguing you.
Yeah, of course, you get to see cars that don't have radio knobs or shift levers on them because they take those off, because otherwise the people would take them off.
Right, like a souvenir.
Yeah, exactly. It's not bolted down.
Enjoyed those.
Cool.
If I ever get a souvenir of one of those things, Joe, I'll make sure to mail it to you.
You got a deal.
There you go. That's cool.
You got a deal, yeah.
So what's coming up next on automobileblog.net, Carl? Whatever's trending, I guess. But do you have anything in the works that, or do you have any projects that you pursue, or is it just a day-by-day kind of thing?
Yes. No, as a matter of fact, we do. So this week we actually sat down with Jim Morrison, who is the head of RAM. He gave us some insight as to the engineering and design of the new RAM truck. And then we also sat down with Al Oppenheiser as well, who's the chief engineer of the Camaro. And he gave us an inside look of how the Camaro, particularly the ZL1 1LE, how that car is engineered and designed and developed. And then we also then, with Chevrolet, we sat down with the lead development engineers who are responsible for the Silverado. So we've got that coming up where we're going to take our readers in depth into the Silverado. And then the Kia Stinger, which was a hot car last year here in Detroit, subsequently again this year. So we sat down with some of the leadership at Kia, particularly their the gentleman that head their design department and the gentleman who is responsible for engineering the car. So yeah, we're going to take readers behind Kia's new Fastback to give them a perspective of how this car kind of went from dream to reality. So we've got a number of articles coming that are going to take our readers sort of behind the scenes of these individual vehicles, because we've spoken to the teams and the people that were responsible for building them.
Excellent. Joe and I looked at each other because we were wondering if Jim Morrison was going to read poetry.
Yeah, right.
And you know, you got to be of a certain age to understand that reference. But you know, well, of course, the Doors, you know, but
right.
Oh, that's great. That's a very good call. That's, well, you certainly have your hands full, and you disseminate that information.
It does not appear to be bored.
No, not at all. Not at all.
No.
Excellent. No. All right. Well, Carl, we're going to have to run for now because we got a last piece to do, last segment to do on this show, and then we're going to be out of here. We need more time, obviously, but we don't
do
have
we
it.
Ever.
But we do thank you for coming on with us, and we're going to be in touch. We'll have you back on again on a more regular basis. We're trying to figure out what works best for the show,
yeah,
and we'll keep our listeners informed that way.
Right. Hey, guys, thank you both so much. Really appreciate it. And Ray, will you just keep an eye on Joe for me? I'm really worried about him.
Oh, I am too. Don't worry. I watch him like a hawk. I will do that, Carl. You can bet.
The line forms to the left.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good
talk.
Take care.
Good talk.
All right, Carl.
Bye-bye.
So long. That was Carl Anthony.
Very perceptive dude.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you know what? Be scared.
Let's take a last quick break, and we'll come back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Keep it where you got it. Ray Guarino, Joe D. That was Carl Anthony from automobleblog.net. And let's take a little listen more to more Nielsen Schmielsen.
Do you own a car? Or have you ever seen one? Then you might be one of the millions of Americans who suffer from "there's something wrong with my car, but mechanics cost too much itis." Call the Motor Mouse at 516-572-7440. Our trained staff of two will help. There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Hey, you in the car? Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show every Friday afternoon at 3 on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Whether you're a hot rod or a Camaro chick, the Motor Mouths will always do the trick. Motor Mouth Radio, baby.
Oh,
Oh, yeah, that was the sweet sounds of a WHPC alumnus, Rich Wisneski, who was here many years ago. We had a great relationship with him. He did a bunch of promos and cuts for us. That was, it's good
those
to hear
him. Those were always
again.
Great. As a regular listener, I used to enjoy those various promos there.
Me too.
Very imaginative.
I want to get to our last piece, Joe. This is something that came across the pike this week, and it hit hard. It hit me. Dina Parisi from Dina Parisi Racing.
Oh, yeah.
Sent it out, and it's, I said, what? Anyway.
Yeah, I've been hearing it from a few directions myself there.
Yes. Dateline, January 17th, Raceway Park, Englishtown, New Jersey. They have announced restructuring of a business effective immediately. Basically, the deal is Raceway Park will no longer be doing eighth or quarter mile racing. And they're going to reuse the stadium and the hospitality section, the VIP hospitality section, for most. They're going to keep that for most of its
other events,
other things. They're still going to have the spring and fall swap meets, the numerous car shows, motocross racing and practice, kart racing, as well as drifting. So all of that motor stuff stays. A full schedule of road course activities, mud runs, monster truck shows, music concerts, and festival events, that stays. But drag racing and the airport stays. But the
So I guess it's not a noise thing.
You would think not. The new reorganization reflects the company's plan moving forward beginning in 2018, while allowing Raceway Park to still continue to operate and in as it has in the past, with the exception of drag racing. The Knapp family put this out. You can go to RacewayPark.com and see this. They did open as a family business in 1965, July 4th, 1965. Mm-hmm. So they've been there quite a long time, you know, and it's one of our favorites. It's the only, it's our closest local track.
Yes.
And we, as we know, just because they have an elevation of 86 feet above sea level, a lot of races like to go there because they run faster.
Sure.
Just like they did at New York National. And in fact, over the years, NHRA Pro Stock speed record of 215.55 miles an hour was set by Erica Enders that was in 2014. In 2015, Antron Brown set a track record at 3.725 in a top fuel pass at 319 miles an hour. That was at the 1,000 foot. Not 1320. And in 2014, Cruz Pedregon set a funny car record at a 3.959 at 310 miles an hour.
Yeah, also, there was a lot of stuff, a lot of records, a lot of achievements at that track.
So there's been a lot of stuff going on. This really buzzed around, and as you would expect. But I tell you, it's going to help out, I think, a friend of this show, Mr. Mike Natale, who is from, he runs South Mountain Raceway. We've had him on the show. He was on here April 30th, 2015. If you go to motormouthradio.com on the download page, that's on the left side of the page with the green button.
Yep.
Scroll down to April 30th, 2015. You can hear that interview. His track is in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania, and it's southmountainraceway.com if you want to check out his schedule for 2018. Hopefully, well, now he's definitely going to get more. You know, more participation.
Somebody's got, we got to go someplace, you know.
Somebody's got to pick up the slack. So that is, it's kind of like when we talked about, our good old friend Joe Oldham. We talk about the passings and we talk about how that affects us when you lose a friend or an individual. Well, this is another one. Yeah, we lost a track. That's another big hit.
Yeah.
There is a big push here on Long Island. Long Island needs a drag strip. We've had those guys on the show as well, John and his son, and there's grassroots efforts to try and...
There are enough races in the Long Island and New York City and area, I would say Jersey now, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That somehow or another, these cars, there's going to be no place to run anymore.
Otherwise, you got to go down to ATCO, which is South Jersey, or you got to go to MIR. There's other tracks. You can go Lebanon Valley, but each one is more and more of a hike from here.
Exactly. It becomes a day and a half trip.
Yeah.
Because remember, most guys, most guys are working guys. You know what I mean? And even back in the day, going to, say, Englishtown, you were out the door, 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, something like that. To get down there, and then once you were done running, assuming you were hanging in there, now you got to fight traffic on the way home and stuff.
And
then you got to go to work the next day. Come on. Now, if what used to be, like, say, a 2-hour or 2.5-hour soiree now becomes a
weekend.
Now becomes like a pack bag type thing. You know?
It's tough. So, I'm going to reach out to Mike Natale and try and get him back on the show and talk about how this will impact, or what his perspective thoughts on impact are, because it hasn't happened yet. The season hasn't started. And he may have some other information that we don't know. So I'm going to reach out to him during the week and see if we can get him on. Maybe next weekend. We'll get him on maybe next Sunday.
Yeah. And, yeah. That would be good to have the input from that end of the world there as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm.
No, I agree, because we got to have some place to run.
Well, that is what we like to do. You know, my friend, our friend Paul, Pirate Paul, had told me, he goes, damn, you know, he's building his GTX.
Right.
He's like, I want to bring my car there to run it to get a time. I was like, yeah, well, sorry.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, like the rest of us, it's just kind of, but you could take your kart or go drifting there or do a motocross if you want.
Yeah.
So I'll be there for the swap meet in April, I guess. I don't have the dates. I have them somewhere, but I don't remember. I think it's in April. It's the first spring swap meet.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
We'll go out there and see what, they may have some literature or whatever. And, you know, I will say this, year after year as we've driven through, I like to come in the back way. I used to go, with Chris all the time. That was our pilgrimage.
Yes.
And Kilowatt Kevin. And now I go with the Mikes.
Yep.
You know, our good friends Mike and Mike. And you were there a couple times. You've come down.
Yeah.
And we come in that back way through Old Bridge, and you just see the housing has just increased.
It's changed. It's, yeah.
And every year we say, you know what, when are they going to squawk enough? And I always said, hey, God bless Englishtown and the Knapp family for being able to be good neighbors.
Yeah. But, so as far as that goes, yeah. The neighborhoods have changed. That's like what happened out where National used to be.
And even, not even National, also out at Island Dragway, West Hampton. West Hampton. You know, I used to go out there quite a lot. Same thing. Now it's condos. You know, and people are like, hey, what's that noise I hear? What is that? What is, you know, is it that those aren't gardeners? And now the homeowners association comes in and says, hey, you know, we don't want that. And that's where the power is, because,
yeah,
apparently,
they pay the taxes and whatever.
But, you know, the track is paying taxes too. So, you know, I don't know exactly why the politicians always buckle, but they do. This is going to have to be a very...
Yeah, whoever that is, they got to make this quick.
Let's try this. Let's say hi, you're all at the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys, it's Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Jim, you're on a short leash. We're at the end of the show. What's your thought?
Yeah. Oh, man, I am so freaking depressed about Raceway Park. It is not funny.
Understandable.
Yeah, and, you know, some of the things you're going on about, I do know that, you know, the noise issue at Raceway Park was actually solved a long time ago thanks to a couple of different lawsuits that Jimmy Knapp had bought. I went to Raceway Park a couple of years ago with a buddy of mine to go drag racing at the divisional race, and I saw the same thing. It's like, oh, wow, they are really building up around here. But really, the complaints about the noise are kind of gone. I mean, they really don't complain about noise anymore.
They even ran a muffled class for a while.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they had first of all, Racer Park had curfews that were always fun to try and meet.
That's right.
There were certain days you could not run open headers. In fact, Friday nights was everything had to be muffled,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. I mean, all the street guys came out, and most of those guys were turbocharged, so the turbocharger took most of the noise away anyway. Just one little piece of news I happened to read on Facebook. NHRA actually made a statement. The new director of public relations, a lady, I don't know her name, but she basically has been there 3 months, and boom, this hits, and she's like, oh, great, now what do I do? The interesting thing is NHRA was just as shocked as everybody else. They're not sure what to do. Right now they're thinking about, okay, where do we move the Summer Nationals to? Can we even do a Summer Nationals this year?
Right.
So this is affecting everybody hard, because this was quick. This was a cut. This was kind of like, you know, ripping the Band-Aid off a scab.
Right out of left field.
Everybody's in shock. They're like, whoa, wait, what? What's going on here?
It did happen very fast. Well, I'll tell you this, Jim. We, with the various contacts that we have, as we get the information...
We got to look into this, yeah.
Unfortunately, we're only here once a week, but we'll keep everybody up to date, and we'll do it. I'll send it out through Twitter as well, so people can have... And, you know, we're not the only source. There's plenty of people who have more information than us, but we'll do our part, our little part, wherever we can.
Anything I hear, I will forward to you guys.
All right.
By all means.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
No problem.
All right. Take care. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. All righty. Yeah, you see, now that's only, you know, it's like when someone writes a letter into a radio or a TV show, one letter equates to like 10,000. Jim
right.
is just one torch that really equates to very many more where this is concerned.
Hear that? Talk about torch. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Definitely. No, I mean, there were a lot of people in the New York area that had drag races. You know what I mean? And now they have to go even further. So,
well, you know, we talk about, too, how it's going to affect the service industry, like the engine builders and the chassis shops. And they've been drying up left and right. There's very few left around here anymore. And, you know, let's face it, when an industry comes in, the service industry comes in with it.
Right.
And when that industry leaves, the service industry leaves. Because, let's face it, if they're not doing business.
It's just when we need more CVSs and Panera Breads and stuff like that.
Well, I laugh because every time I see something going up by my house, I'm like, oh, what's it going to be, another bank? Like, no one's got any money.
Right.
And it is. And it's another bank.
It's incredible how that works, yeah. But I guess people think that we need other things, but that's okay. So what do you think? What do we got going on next week, did you say?
Well, nothing scheduled. Like I said, I'm going to see if I can get Mr. Natoli on from South Mountain Dragway. We'll see if we can get him on and keep this kind of current.
Sure.
I didn't want to double book with Carl Anthony today because I didn't know how long Carl would go, and I didn't want to short mic.
Change.
Yeah, so maybe next week we'll get him on, and this way it'll be almost 2 weeks past since the news, and he may have more information and be.
Yeah,
better.
this kind of hit kind of quick. You know, there's a lot of things to delve into, so we'll stay with it.
But for now, we gotta go. Kim is in here. She's gonna do Thunder Road, Best of Bruce Springsteen, and we're gonna be out of here. We'll be back next week for Joe D. Ray Guarino. We'll see you then.
Total.
Bye.